pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. It's the end.
It is the end of season four.
Of season four of a Premier League season that offered a lot, gave a lot to us. I thought
took a lot.
took quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's over. The finality of the season hasn't sunk in with me yet. Like that. Well, okay, I guess next Saturday there will be a Chelsea game to watch, but
there will be.
But after that,
Was that you rubbing it in? Like, oh, we've got another game to play yet.
I was literally, it was just a stream of consciousness.
All right, that's fine.
Hey, do we? Oh, yeah, no, we do actually. All right. Like, okay, so there's that match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got, yeah, so you have all the cup matches at the end.
The Europa League finals this Wednesday.
Oh, well, there is that, yeah.
You know, there's Champions League spot on the line there, so that's pretty serious. Well, at least there's one Champions League spot on the line there. Then you look, you know, the Champions League final itself is coming up, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. So you know, there's that to look forward to.
The
Under 20 World Cup started. If you're feeding for soccer, there's still soccer to be had.
Feed for soccer and work third shift.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a little bit like the World Cup back in 2002.
Yeah, out in Korea.
Yeah,
is where the current U-20s are.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. getting a draw in their first match. Yes. And then probably what was expected to be their hardest match of the group stages.
Yeah, 3-3 draw. They were down two goals at one point.
Yeah, so. Scored at the death.
Yeah. But
94th minute.
We're not going to analyze the Under-20 World Cup.
No, because I didn't watch it. I just read a tweet.
Same. So I may have read a story.
Super dialed in.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, there's soccer to be watched, but to your point, your earlier point, in that you know the finality hasn't really sunk in, I sometimes at the end of the Premier League season, especially like this one where most everything was wrapped up before the final day, I was kind of like, meh. Like, I don't know, like I knew where Spurs were going to finish. Maybe that was the big part of it for me. Like I knew where they were going to end up.
Well, yeah, I mean, we went into the final day of the Premier League with really only one thing to figure out, which is will Liverpool grab hold of that fourth place spot and get that Champions League? Or will Arsenal once again slip on in to their rightful spot of fourth place?
We'll get into all of that. Because certainly that was the last bit of drama for the day. But
that was it. You're right. That was it.
I don't know. It felt very anticlimactic, you know, and what they've been selling, especially the last 2 years, has been this whole like
Championship Sunday.
Championship Sunday. They replay the Aguero goal from a couple of years ago, like 400 times.
Now they have like a little mini documentary that they were running this week.
Well, here's the thing: that mini documentary was like pretty much every commercial break for them, and second, like I don't know. In that little mini documentary that they've been playing, they actually say, like, there's never going to be a moment like this again. Like, we're never going to have that. And every year,
we're going to keep chasing it, though.
We're going to prove that that's the case by having more and more dull Championship Sundays. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think the last several years. Obviously, Chelsea's both wins recently. They locked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Leicester locked it up, with 2 weeks left? Before that, I guess what you had, City, their second win, they locked it up like the week before, or I guess they essentially locked it up, and unless they're like some horrible, you know, they lose and Arsenal won by, you know, 12.
Yeah.
They would have got like, it would otherwise like, yeah, we outside of the one City one, I cannot think of the last time that there's been. Like, oh, it all comes down to the day. Everything's going to be decided.
Well, that means that we just have to make this final episode of season four that much more exciting because there's not really a whole lot of meat to chew on in here other than our embarrassment.
No, yeah. I mean, we got to do what we do every year at this time. We go back and we look at our predictions and we see how wrong we were. And then we give our awards out for the end of the year. And then we go talk. I have one question. looming for each club over the summer.
Okay.
And then we'll hit that, talk about how they did. We will do some other podcasts this summer.
Yeah, we always call this like the finale. It's the season finale.
Yeah, but we'll sprinkle in some summer.
We always do something along the way. So stay tuned as the season wears on.
Yeah, sounds like you already got something in the works already.
Yeah, we might have something for you. Good stuff. Yeah. Well, before we get into how poorly we predicted things at the beginning of the year, let's start off with we have to crown a champion.
Ooh.
In the fantasy realm.
Who will it be? Will it be... Chad was in the running.
Chad Arnett.
Other people that 99 problems.
MLS.
He was
the MLS league. Yeah, so we do have some people who are often duking it out for the top spot. But actually, we had someone sneak in on the last day.
Oh no!
I'm fairly certain. This person did not lead all year long because I probably would have heard about it if that were the case.
Mm. So we're going to hear a pretty awesome name right now.
Tim Paff, Tottenham fan from right here in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. His Queen City Mafia steals in very last day, pips the spot.
I feel like he's been around maybe in previous years, right?
Well, yeah, he's definitely been around before. He's been lurking near the top of the season all year, but I don't think he was there. So congrats to Tim.
Just rolls on in at the end.
Yeah, like that a Spurs fan wins it, so I feel pretty good about that. So I feel happy, if nothing else, if it's not going to be me, which it certainly wasn't going to be.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you don't win anything.
No.
Congratulations.
You know, once upon a time, we did get sponsors to do this and T-shirts and things like that. But
DDA Drogba from like Papua New Guinea or something like that.
Yeah, he not only did he want the T-shirt, but he also was like, well, you could just send me money instead. And it was kind of like, what?
Pardon?
Yeah. You know, I'm giving away shirts to help spread the podcast. I'm not trying to pay people here. What? So anyway, we're not doing prizes anymore, but you do get the
honor. That guy ruined it.
He ruined everything for us. But congrats to Tim. Over in the MLS League, which we'll run all summer long, and then we'll, of course, pick it back up in the fall when we get back into regular
podcasting. Sure will. Season 5. That's wild.
It makes me feel old saying that we've been doing this for 5 years almost. But yeah, Derek Friedman, we do have a regular leader still sitting across the top there. 5 weeks in a row that the committee is still sitting there.
Are you burying the lead here? How terrible did we do in, well, I guess are doing in MLS, but where did we end up finishing in the Premier League? How bad did it get?
You noticed that, did you?
You tried to get out of the segment without mentioning it.
Yeah, crap. I fell 3 places to 62nd, so I'm firmly onto page 2.
Okay.
You improved 7 places to 40th.
You know why?
Why?
Because I think I still have Harry Kane captain from several weeks ago.
Wise choice. He was dumping goals.
Yeah, 7 goals in 2 matches or whatever. So.
Damn it. that I didn't is slightly disappointing and embarrassing in its own right. We'll get back to the MLS league. We know Derek Friedman sitting on the top. I won't evade how we're doing here as well. I fell 2 places to 40th.
Yeah.
You're still sitting bottom of the pile.
Yeah.
So, you are catching up a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Did you adjust your team this week?
No.
You didn't? All right. Well, you had a decent week. So congrats to you.
I'm pretty sure I'm still starting Giovinco, who's going to be out for like the next like 2 months.
Yeah, well, there's that. Does that mean that we should get into our predictions where further embarrassment is only certain to follow?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Every year, we start the season out. We go, hey,
here's
our top four.
Here's what we think is going to happen.
And most of the time, we're dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Last year being the penultimate terrible prediction.
I think you had like the only correct prediction last year.
Well, we both had Leicester getting relegated last year.
Well,
so that's pretty the champion getting relegated.
If you're listening, right now, it's your fault. You chose to stay with us.
We did not do that bad this year, as far as that goes. We did not pick. No one picked Chelsea to get relegated.
Good, good.
I know you thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Um,
dreamed about it.
So obviously. the real top four, if you were unaware.
Okay.
First place, Chelsea FC. They won.
Oh, okay.
They finished first.
Yes.
They get the title.
We talked about this last week. Yes, yes.
So they are the champions.
Okay.
Top spot then.
Oh. Okay.
Second.
Wait, what team was there again?
Chelsea.
Oh, okay.
Champions.
The jersey you're wearing.
Chelsea champions. If you, there's a cool emoji, hashtag Chelsea champions, you get a little Antonio Conte with this pumping his fist in the air.
Do you really?
That's yeah, on cool. Twitter. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Well, weird how I don't have a whole lot of Chelsea in my timeline.
Well, you know, we all have room to grow.
It's not for everyone.
Apparently not. Second place, Spurs. Third place, City. Fourth place, Liverpool. And again, first place was Chelsea.
Okay.
That's how it really finished.
All right. Please tell me where we all thought everyone was going to land this year.
All right. Let's start in fourth place.
Okay.
You picked United.
Okay.
Not terrible.
No.
We
two off.
I did worse. We both felt United was going to pick themselves up a little bit with Mourinho. That sort of happened?
Yeah. It's debatable.
Well, I mean, we'll get to that. That's actually the question I have on when we get to talking about United.
Okay.
Was this season a success?
Like, all right.
Yes or no? I had Liverpool, which is the team that finished in fourth.
It's accurate. So far, we've got a hit.
Third place. Typical Spurs fan. You went low. You put them third place.
Okay. Only one off.
Yeah, well, one off. You're all right. Apparently, we both decided to do this. I picked my team in third place. I went Chelsea third.
Okay. Realistic expectations, both of us.
I had United second.
Ooh.
You had Chelsea second.
Okay.
So a lot closer there.
Okay.
We both picked City to win.
To be fair, if you look back at the beginning of the season, City were rampant. Like, we were all talking about at the beginning of the year, like, well, Guardiola's got the juice, and he's brought it over here to Manchester.
Well, because you figure City is a side with a lot of talent, and you're bringing in now what is argued to be one of the best managers in, you know, of the past, like, you know, 10 years. That sounds on paper like a title contender and like someone that you can put some money behind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't work out. But,
no, it didn't.
Relegation. Again, if you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
20th, Sunderland. Dead. Buried. Gone.
Okay.
19th, Borough.
Also pretty buried.
Pretty buried. Pretty much gone. And then Hull City. Goodbye.
Tripped their way in.
So that's what really happened. We both picked Burnley to finish 20th.
Oof.
Burnley stayed alive. Now, they didn't do amazingly well.
No, they were just alive. About the drop zone.
Yeah, just about. We both picked Hull City to finish 19th. So we both picked Hull City to
go down. Okay, that's fine.
I had Swansea, which looked just pretty, like a pretty good bet for most of the season.
Yeah, it's true.
And you had Watford, which was also a team that at certain points really struggled.
Hmm.
So I don't think we did terrible there.
No. Much better than last year, where, again, we picked the champion to go down.
Sack race.
Mm-hmm.
So the winner of the sack race was Swansea City's Francisco Guidolin, and that's who I picked.
Excellent.
You picked Walter Mazzarri, but you also claimed that he was the Hull's manager.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what we're going to go with there. It is interesting. You picked back-to-back Watford managers. You did this last year. You picked Kike Sanchez Flores.
Whatever order.
Both managers got sacked like the end of the season.
Yeah.
Instead.
So actually, it seems like if I give someone the kiss of death, it means they're going to hang around.
You're going to make it till May.
Okay.
Golden Boot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who you went with?
I do know who I went with.
Who'd you go with?
I went with Zlatan.
That's not terrible.
He has
17 goals.
That's a pretty good return. That's
12 off the winner.
That's true. It's very true. Who did you pick?
I picked Sergio Aguero, who I think had like 20 or 24.
Yeah.
Not terrible. Mm-hmm. Like I think I even said in the predictions, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go conservative and just say Sergio Aguero, because he's been in the top three for the past like four or five seasons.
the person who's actually been closer to the top for the past three seasons is the one who ultimately ran away with it. And while you are going to brag a little bit about the team that finished at the top of the top four, I'll brag a little bit here about my boy, Mr. Kane.
Yeah, go ahead and brag about that goal.
That's not too bad. Like you mentioned a few minutes ago, seven goals in his last two matches isn't anything too shabby.
No. I like to take this opportunity to let you know that Thibaut Courtois won the Golden Glove.
Damn it.
Actually, and just pipped
Lloris. If Spurs hadn't given up that one goal in the 7-1 blowout that they had, that would have meant that Lloris got the win.
Well, they shared it, I guess, right?
There was some sort of statistical
advantage, a tiebreaker?
Yeah, something along those lines. So,
So Zlatan, Aguero, obviously, they didn't do it. It was Harry Kane who scored a million goals at the end of the season.
Yeah.
He's like the guy in your rec league that when there is like a golden boot competition and like he's sitting there going like, hey, how many goals do I need to win?
I need that many.
Okay. And then he just runs out and does that.
And he did exactly that. We had ended the season on, I think, four hat tricks, five.
But he had
three of those in like the last month. So
when he scored four goals on Thursday.
Yeah.
That's a good amount of that.
He's okay.
He's gonna be all right.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think England's really bummed out that they're not in any kind of competition this summer of merit.
Yeah, you know how England would have been. Kane was on fire at the end of last year,
and then
was really not all that great for him over the summer. So, yeah.
Manager of the season, obviously, I believe it was announced today that Antonio Conte won. Mm-hmm. There's multiple outlets that hand these out. You pick Conte.
I had a feeling. Really did. I thought he was going to turn it around. Obviously, I picked them to finish second. So, you know, he did turn things around, and he did one better than I expected him to.
I went with the fool's gold that was Pep Guardiola.
Almost got you there.
Yeah. So we always pick dark horse candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that we're not saying they're going to like – you know, go Leicester City and win the whole thing, man, but they're just going to have a good season.
I am terrified of who I picked here.
I think you did all right, considering what they did, their improvement from last year. You picked Everton.
Okay.
Everton finished, what, 11th last year?
Yeah.
They finished in a European place this year.
Now that you're saying that, I think...
Not too shabby.
I think I remember making the argument that Koeman would do well for him, and he certainly did.
And you'll feel even better knowing that I picked Boro.
Ooh, maybe that was what I was fearing because I thought that's who I picked, and maybe it was just remembering that that's a year.
That was me. I got all excited about, they got Negredo in. Oh, they brought in this little piece. Oh, hey, Brad Guzan's here. Oh, this would be awesome.
Backfire.
Nah, it's all crap.
Sorry about that.
Why don't we go ahead and now
recap how we think it really ended up.
Just give our own awards.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Just say who we think are deserving. Obviously, you have the FA Player of the Year, the Football Writers,
like to give the Golden Boot to Harry Kane.
Okay.
Is that all right?
All right. The math works out on that.
Okay,
sure.
It's fine.
Who is your manager of the season?
My manager of the season, I'm going to stick with my preseason prediction. I think Antonio Conte deserves loads of credit for the work that he did this year. Not only fixing the team on the pitch from a tactical standpoint, brought in a back three, made it kind of commonplace to play a back three. It wasn't just Chelsea that plays that now. It's Spurs routinely playing with a back three. It's Arsenal playing with a back three. You look across the league and you're seeing a lot of teams experiment with that. And you can really pin a lot of that on Conte. He was the one who was brave enough to make that switch on a regular basis. And then furthermore, I think this is something that can't really be credited enough, but something that you see everywhere after Mourinho's there. There needs to be like a psychological repairing of the team's psyche after Mourinho departs. He always departs in like a cloud, and the club is caught up in the turbulence of that cloud and the storm. And Conte not only did that, but he came in and righted the ship pretty damn quickly. And by the time that City's hot streak had run out at the beginning of the year, Chelsea were already cruising away, and they really never let go of that.
And I think he did a very bold thing this early on in the season, where you had all of these big name managers. Remember, that was the theme about this whole season. Oh, look at all these managers we got coming in. Oh, we got just an embarrassment of riches with managers. And early on, you had every manager kind of hit a rut, hit a problem spot, mm-hmm. whether it was Klopp or Pep or, I mean, even, you know, Spurs kind of started off a little slow. Every manager had to make a change. And it was Antonio Conte saying, you know what? We just got our doors blown off by Arsenal. If we're going to win, we're going to win it my way. We're going three at the back. We're going to do my system. This is how it's going to work. And they never look back.
It worked.
It worked.
It worked. It worked tremendously. So who would you give your manager of the season to?
I'm in agreeance. I mean, hey, just take away the name. Take away the club. And just say, if I just told you, hey, a manager came into the Premier League. And in his first season, the club he was at improved 10 places from where it was the year before. Probably going to be in the running for
me. At bare minimum, yeah. I mean, you see all the time teams that were in the relegation fodder the year before and they finish in the top half the next season and suddenly their manager's winning manager of the year. I mean,
so just on principle, you go, wow, that's a feat right there to move that much. Then you go, okay, well, it was Antonio Conte and not only do that, but Chelsea had 30 wins. Most of any European club ever in a 38-game season. Most wins ever.
Damn.
On the verge of potentially winning the double in his first season. I don't know how you can go anywhere else.
I mean, he's very deserving.
Who was your player of the year?
My player of the year? I rocked back and forth about this one a bit because I think – there were a lot of players this year that were very impressive. I think Eden Hazard was back to the form that we'd seen from him the year before last. And I thought, you know, N'Golo Kante, who I think maybe is getting a little bit more credit than he deserves, given that he's surrounded by a team full of ridiculous international players that are of the highest caliber. But he had another fantastic season. I'm not really trying to take anything away from him, but I do think he's a little overbuilt.
Do it.
It's homerish. It's homerish, but Harry Kane. And the reason why I say this, he not only finished the Golden Boot, right, but mm-hmm. he did it where he had literally three long stretches out due to injury.
Yeah.
And did it, you know, obviously his team kept up the pace, but when he did come back in, you often see guys that, you know, the big name player in the team gets injured, comes back and kind of force him in a little bit early, and then he takes a little while to find his feet, and sometimes everyone's beating on him, like, maybe we should drop him and bring something else in. And every time Kane back into the starting lineup, he was almost immediately back into the goals. And the type of goals that he scored this year, the variety of the goals.
Yeah, I actually completely agree. My player of the year is Harry Kane.
Wow.
29 goals, as he said, super impressive. Still my favorite goal. Was actually that goal against Chelsea in the semifinal where he just dips down and just lets that ball just ramp off of him. Just the awareness to go with that move in that position.
Yeah. My wife and I both talked about that goal and how neither one of us would have even thought to have do that in order to get it on frame. And he just, like I was saying, it's the variety. He can score with the skimming header, the diving header, the strike from distance, the spinning volley, the little poke with his heel, like literally anything if he can get his body on the ball in any capacity near the goal, he's got a really good shot at putting it in the back of the net. And for that reason, he is my MVP and your MVP. We're in agreement on two of these things.
Not so too shabby for a mouth breather.
He is a mouth breather. That big, massive underbite that he's got there leaves plenty of room to take in air through the mouth.
It's good. Maybe that's the advantage he has over all of us.
It might be. What about your surprise club of the year?
My surprise club of the year, Bournemouth.
I went with the same thing. This is getting weird.
I mean, who else can you go with? They finished 16th last year. They finished 9th this season.
They have like 9 seats in that stadium.
Yeah.
That's what's amazing about a club like Bournemouth finishing the top half of the Premier League. I mean, you look at a side like Everton, you know, who are, what, just ahead of them in the table, two places ahead of them in the table.
Yeah, two places ahead.
Everton's spend is enormous compared to them. Their stadium is enormous compared to them. Bournemouth are doing this on a shoestring budget in a tiny little stadium. And, you know, ultimately their future probably lies away from that ground and they'll have to find a new home. But the way they've achieved this year is just incredible given not only where they ended up on the table, but the way they do it. You know, Eddie Howe is stuck with this style. And for better or worse, it's dragged them to the place where they are. And that's pretty damn impressive for a club with their resources.
Your surprise player of the year?
My surprise player of the year? I feel a little guilty in saying this because it's a guy that did really well this year.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was lavishing him with praise. But Sadio Mane for Liverpool, I think, is my surprise player of the year in that how crucial he was for Liverpool. They were in the fight for, you know, higher than fourth place. It seemed almost a lock that they were going to be in the top four, probably midway through the season. But he had two big extended spells out for them. One with the African Cup of Nations, where he was out for a while.
Right.
And then he also had two injury spells. And he obviously ended the year without it. And Liverpool kind of tailed off when that happened. So I think that's my surprise player of the year. How about you?
I'm going back to what we just talked about with Bournemouth. Joshua King. Mm. 16 goals on the season. Scored against, you know, he scored against United, he scored against Chelsea, Liverpool. 30% of Bournemouth's goals came off his foot.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, a guy who really, you don't hear a whole lot about him. There's not a whole lot of pub, but you're talking about, and we just, you know, you mentioned it, small statement. This is in the pond that is the Premier League. They are one of the minnows.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to finish in the top 10 because of performances by guys like Joshua King.
Absolutely.
Let's go glass half empty. Who is the disappointment of the season? You can go player, you can go club. What disappointed you the most?
I went player, and I'm in the spirit of this question, I'm kind of ignoring it because the disappointment implies that you expected more, right?
Okay.
I have to give my disappointment to Moussa Sissoko. £30 million. And the minute it was announced, I went, this is a horrible idea.
Every Spurs fan is in
this
agreement right here.
This is a terrible decision. He has been pure crap for the last few years. Why are we buying him? I know he had a good Euros. Ignore that. Look at the rest of the sample size. It's crap. And he was legitimately crap every time he came on.
Yeah.
Actually, I take that back. In the Thursday midweek game this week, he had to play as our right wing back because literally all of our backs are out.
Everyone's
injured.
Gone.
Yeah. So that's what he was doing.
You couldn't get Yedlin back?
He's officially sold.
Well, I mean, just, you know, his playing. You
emergency.
Know, season's over for them.
It's emergency. Even Kyle Walker Peters, our young up and coming.
Fake Kyle Walker?
The fake Kyle Walker. Just like we had the Kenny McAvoy, the fake Gareth Bale. We also have a fake Kyle Walker, and Kyle Walker Peters was on duty with England at the U20 World Cup.
No,
so, yeah, just wasn't working out for us.
My disappointment. I think it got hyped up. I blame you and your employer for hyping it up.
Ah, damn it.
We were all high on Crystal Palace going into the season.
Oh yeah.
And goodness me, they were terrible.
And they really shouldn't have been.
That's the thing. They should not have been. They had a good team.
They were terrible, end of the year, because they were kind of crap at the end, very end. But they went in that nice little spell where they like seemed like they were done for.
Yeah.
And then they won enough to get out. I think a full season of Allardyce, like, we'll get them primed and ready.
Yeah.
I think he'll do it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we all expected a lot more. I was feeling top 10. Finish from them.
Yeah.
Given the pieces, Townsend, Benteke. Looked like they had enough going on there.
They did.
They brought in that keeper from Marseille.
Mm-hmm.
Did that guy even play much?
I feel like he got hurt.
He must have. I feel like he would just disappeared.
Yeah.
Early on in the season, was never heard from again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's our awards.
Yeah, congrats to those people who
won.
We'll
be mailing those out. Hopefully none of those need to be mailed to New Guinea.
I'm not aware that any of them. It sounds like most of them are going to England. So,
okay. Yeah. All right.
At least we can ship them all in one box.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Everyone just collect it. We'll mm-hmm. send it just to Trafalgar Square.
Yeah.
And you just go
pick it up. Mm-hmm.
Let's go run down the Premier League, though, from 20 to 1. Talk about each club real quickly. 20th place, Sunderland. Goodbye. 24 points on the season. That is 15 points worse than what they did last year.
I mean, that's not the way you survive.
Who scored the most goals for them?
Defoe.
Yeah, he mm-hmm. scored 15.
Yeah, I figured he had a decent...
We had Sunderland news today.
Mm-hmm.
David Moyes resigns.
Yeah, he didn't seem like a guy who wanted to stick around, did he? And nope. The club, I think, had said that they were willing to keep him. So
he's got to practice, working on that CV for that Barcelona opening.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be first in line. For Sunderland, obviously, they're going down.
Mm-hmm.
The situation that club finds itself in right now, they have one of the top 10 highest payrolls in the Premier League. So they're going to have to do some serious salary dumping, which, by the way, is very hard to do when you overpay for players who are actually crap. So they're going to be in a tough spot. They could be in a situation where they can't shed some of these guys and that they are stuck with those salaries on a far larger income coming in. So I'm legitimately a little worried about Sunderland.
Let's talk Moyes real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What is his next move? When we've talked about the circus that has been the last 5 years of his life, from taking Everton into European play to being anointed by Sir Alex as his predecessor or as his successor to getting canned there. Going to Real Sociedad,
mm-hmm.
that flamed out.
Yeah, didn't go terribly, but also didn't go well.
It went about as well as his Spanish.
Yeah.
And then, he comes back and he ends up winding up at Sunderland. And it was like doomed from day one. Even his own words pretty much spelled that this was a disaster.
I think he needs a break. Like, I think he just needs a year out of management,
What does he do?
I don't even know. Here's the easy answer. Go to an MLS side. I mean, it seems like something that would happen. Maybe go to China. That Indian Super League that happens every summer. That's probably coming up.
I don't know if someone that pasty-skinned can handle the
Indian
summer in India.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean,
or like taking the Houston Dynamo job, I think that would also be just as
so humid.
Oh, he would die.
Owen Coyle would not advise it.
No, I don't. Don't know how he managed to survive that long.
So Sunderland, without David Moyes, facing mm-hmm. the future. Best of luck to them.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it goes better next year.
My one question with Sunderland, though, is that. Will they just be able to jump right back up? You mentioned the payments. The they have a lot of players on a lot of money.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I
think Defoe probably had a release clause too.
Yeah, he did. So, yeah, I read about that today.
He's off.
To where, though?
Someone will pick him up. 15 goals? I mean, come on. Someone will buy that. He's probably on a free. You know what I mean? You can get 15 goals on the cheap.
So, Brighton Hove Albion?
I think he's got Stoke written all over him.
Yeah.
Doesn't he seem like a guy that Mark Hughes would like to have just at his disposal?
Could be, yeah. 19th place, Middlesbrough, 28 points. Who scored their goals?
It could have been Negredo.
It was Negredo, had the most, 9 goals.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he somehow managed to cobble together 9 over the course of the season. Still, not what you wanted from him.
No.
You wanted more like a Defoe, like a 15 or more.
Yeah, I think that's what production. They were looking for.
They brought in some pieces, though. They brought in him. They brought in some other pieces that you thought, this could work.
Mm-hmm.
This could work. It did not work. And in fact, they only scored 27 goals as a unit.
Yikes.
Again, Harry Kane, 29 goals individually. Middlesbrough as the entire lot.
Okay.
27 goals.
Not a great way to stay.
No. So they're going down. They're a smaller side in the as far as things go. We're not sitting here going, hey, we're going to see them right back. Are we going to see them in the next 5 years? Nah. Like, is this a club that just – this is kind of a blip that they got back up?
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, they're a fairly well-supported club. I mean, they've been in at these heights before.
Sure, but it hadn't been a while. Remember, we talked about it. It's been 12 years since they last
It had been a bit. I mean, I remember the last time they were up and they made another big striker signing and they went down. If memory serves me right, that was Alfonso Albace. They brought him in from the Eredivisie after he bagged like 40 goals or something like that the year before, and he had like four. And the parallels are there. So it may be a while before we see him come back up, but I don't think we've seen the last of Middlesbrough in the Premier League.
Final relegated side, Hull City, 18, 34 points. Abel Hernandez had four goals. Mm. That's your leader.
That's how you know you're in trouble.
Four goals. Assem Alam continues to be a terrible owner.
Yeah.
Remember a couple years ago when he wanted to call them Hull City Tigers and he was trying to force that name change?
He was actually trying to drop City from it.
Right. It was going to be Hull
first
Tigers,
he,
right?
First he got AFC chopped from their name because it was right. Hull City AFC. That's mm-hmm. now gone. Now right. it's just Hull City. And then he was trying to like officially change it to Hull Tigers. Like it, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals.
This is a team that clearly gave up at the end.
Yeah.
We talked about their just lackluster and lifeless performances when they needed to save themselves.
Well, I don't – was it they gave up or they just literally ran out of gas? Because if you remember the beginning of the year, they only had like 15 players on the roster.
That's right. They had like half of the youth club uh-huh. starting that first match.
So, I mean, it could very well that they just burn out way too early because they didn't have enough players to actually compete over the course of a year.
It could be that. Well, let's talk about the players that we do know anything about. Abel Hernandez.
Michael Dawson.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you think of the few people.
Jake Livermore. I mean, I'm thinking of all the ex-Spurs players there. Tom Huddleston, we could keep going.
El Mohammadi. Do some of these kind of known entities, do they start leaving?
I think for sure. But I think a lot of these guys went down with them last time, too, right. and bounced back up. And, you know, Huddleston, Dawson.
But like a Hernandez, you got to think that kid guy's young enough to where he thinks he – this is kind of his prime years. Do you want to be spending it in Division 2?
Or maybe he's part of the reason they didn't stay up and he's found his level.
Yeah, but do you go back to – where did he come from? Like Italy, I think he was playing.
Yeah, probably. Maybe go back to Spain. Who knows?
Watford, 17th, 40 points. It was 5 points worse than they did the previous year. Top goal scorer?
Troy Deeney?
Yep. 10 goals. Has this club hit its ceiling or can it grow into a mid-table mainstay?
You know how like every year there's a player that no one expects to get like a bunch of goals that gets a bunch of goals?
Mm-hmm.
Not this year, but last year, Igalo was that guy. Like,
right.
Came out of the gates, dropped a boatload down. It's kind of like Jamie Vardy was. You know, and Ogallo played a lot of matches this year for Watford, but just didn't repeat in that sense. And I think they maybe benefited from that the year before and missed that he wasn't on fire the way he was this year. So, or he was last year. So I don't know. Had they found their natural level? Yeah, I think so. Like they're never going to be a team that's going to be routinely challenging for the top 10. They're going to be ones that are going to kind of yo-yo around and maybe be fighting the drop every year.
Burnley, 16th place, 40 points. Who scored their goals?
They had a lot of injury issues. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I could name.
Sam Vokes.
Okay. How many you have?
10.
Okay.
Not terrible. Mm-hmm. So their second go here in the Premier League seemed to go a little better. And by that, I mean they didn't go right back down.
Yeah.
How long can they keep this up? This is a team that really made – we were talking about it in the preview, and a lot of people going into the season were like, these guys have not done any moves. They basically have a marginally high-end championship side that they're trying to play in the Premier League. It worked this year. They have to eventually spend and bring in some pieces, though, right?
Well, I mean, I think they did buy occasionally over the course of, you know, the two windows that the pieces that help complement what they were trying to do. A guy like Steven Dufour, who, you know, come in from the Belgian national team, mm-hmm. and he's a quality pickup, a guy who's got good experience and has an international pedigree. And if you can get a couple more of those pieces, that's the way you compete. And bumper TV deals make everyone competitive in the buyer's market. Just buying that right piece and making sure it's not just some name.
15th, Swansea City, 41 points, 6 points worse than what they did last year. Mm-hmm. Who scored the goals?
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
No.
Dang it. Fernando Llorente.
Yep. Yep. Okay. 15 goals for him. Paul Clement rights the ship. But again, we look at the big pieces, Sigurdsson, Llorente. People going to start coming for them?
Well, I mean, I think both
of them. Especially Sigurdsson. Like, I'm surprised a bigger club has not circled.
Well, remember, Spurs had him, and then they sent him back.
Right.
And it's one of those things that he seems like he needs to be the big fish, and he can't be the big fish if he goes to one of the bigger clubs. We kind of saw that at Tottenham. He was given opportunities to do it, but just never really found his feet there at a bigger side where he wasn't going to be the biggest name.
Would an Everton work for him, especially if they lose all the big names that they might be losing?
Well, you know, if like a Ross Barkley leaves.
Right, if Barkley leaves, that'd be a great replacement.
I think it's an excellent replacement. Do I think he could succeed elsewhere? Yeah, I think he could, but he's going to need to go somewhere where he's going to be about the top dog in the locker room.
14th place, Crystal Palace, 41 points, 1 point worse. Actually, only 1 point worse, but it just felt so much more awful than that. Goal score?
Benteke?
Yep, 15 goals for him. Big Sam came in, got them where they needed to be,
He did Big Sam things.
He did Big Sam things.
This is literally what he does.
Yep. So now the question is, can he do the other thing that doesn't have the most amazing track record at? He has a great track record at keeping teams up, but can he turn them into really what I think a lot of people, and it goes back to what we talked about over the summer and when they came in and just how they weren't just, they were trying to grow themselves into being something bigger. They were trying to market themselves more internationally. That was the whole trip to America. Mm-hmm. They had more American investors coming in. Can Big Sam help this team get back on track on the field so they can continue to kind of be this potentially rising force or rising brand within the Premier League?
I mean, I think he's going to keep them in a better spot than they were in last year. I think he's going to provide a little bit more stability. He'll have more time to crack the whip on them. Mm-hmm. But I don't really see them jumping up the table in any kind of atmospheric type of motion, you know. Like, I think they're going to be pretty firmly planted to that mid-table area, and if they get higher, great, but I think most years that's where they're going to be fighting in.
13th, Stoke, 44 points. That's 7 points worse than last season. Who scored?
Stoke's leading scorer, Peter Crouch. Yes,
Peter Crouch, 7 goals.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, Peter Crouch, 7 goals.
Oh, stop it.
Peter Crouch, 7 goals.
I was saying that as a joke, but I knew he had a few, but that's ridiculous. How is Peter Crouch? He's like 106.
My point to why they finished 13th.
He is totally Jack Skellington, like, at this point.
So here's my question. We always joke about this. A, did sexy Stoke ever really happen?
And no.
B, is it time to just move on from that concept?
Well, one.
Or that approach.
I think it's a misnomer to call it sexy Stoke to begin with. I think it was always a bit of one of those mocking, you know, nicknames that are given out, like, sexy Stoke. You know, but at the same time, there were some sexy moments that were buried in there. I mean, Shaqiri had some absolutely, like, mind-bending moments.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty sexy. Like, I can get on board with that if you are saying.
Pretty sure one of the goals you're thinking of, he actually scored in the Euros, but.
That's possible.
He had that bike in the US.
No, I wasn't thinking about that one specifically. But he does do some pretty awesome things every once in a while. I don't necessarily think that they were ever all that sexy to begin with.
So I did a little digging on that.
Okay.
So the 4 years before Mark Hughes came, it was Tony Pulis.
Tony Pulis football.
So they averaged during the four seasons before, because I'm just doing a 4-on-4 comparison here. Stoke averaged 0.98 goals a game. So just below one goal a game is what they averaged over that course of four seasons. The four seasons we've had with Mark Hughes, they are averaging 1.15 goals per game. So the uptick, it's about 6 goals a season, the average increase. That's not amazing.
The difference between sexy and not sexy
is very, very thin.
That's true.
12th place, Leicester City, also on 44 points. That is, believe it or not, 37 points worse than what they did last year.
Oh, my.
As they had 81 points last year. Who scored all their goals this year?
It was not Jamie Vardy.
It was.
Oh.
It was Jamie Vardy. Okay. 13 goals.
I thought he was...
Not too bad.
I thought he was just behind someone, but now that I say that, I'm not exactly sure who he would be in front of. Slimani, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But he kind of petered out.
Petered out, yeah.
Great European campaign. Obviously, mm-hmm. they can hang their hats on that. I think the biggest just conundrum from the season... Ryan, Mahrez, is he a fraud? I mean, how did you go from being the player of the year to an absolute ghost this year?
We talked a little bit earlier about the guys who come and pop up out of nowhere and surprise you with a bunch of goals. It's not unheard of for that to happen in the midfield, too. I saw enough out of Riyad Mahrez to feel fairly confident that he's a phenomenal player.
So then what happened this year?
I think he stopped caring about the team he was playing for, and I think he immediately regretted the decision once things went south. And they went south quickly at the beginning of the year for Leicester.
Yes.
Once things went south, he looked like a man who was like, I should have taken that big money move. Why didn't I do this?
And so that haunted him the rest of the season.
I think it really did. Right. It was just so I would expect him to kind of be like a Hazard that, you know, had a bad off year and then comes back this next year and does well. I also think it makes him a prime candidate for pipping away. Like, his stock has dropped a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to buy him, this is the time to do it because he's not going to be necessarily as high up. So.
Sounds like an Everton buy.
Mm.
11th place, West Ham, 45 points, 17 points lower than the previous year. Who scored their goals?
Oh, man. Valencia?
No. I mean, he did score goals, but not enough.
All with his head. Man, I don't know.
Mikel Antonio.
Okay.
9 goals.
Okay.
How long will it take them to grow into their new stadium? Because clearly, that was a work in progress this year.
They did get better.
As the year went on.
So yeah. I think we're going to get back to the mean with West Ham where they like win some and lose some at home. And it's not the boiling ground, but it is what it is. And I think they'll get used to it in some capacity as soon as next season.
What player next year will get homesick and leave?
Ooh, I hope it's Andy Carroll.
Okay. Where's he leaving to?
I don't know where he's from originally.
The Highlands or something?
Yeah, probably. There are swords that need sharpening.
10th place, West Brom, 45 points. 2 points better. So finally, we've actually hit someone that actually had an improved season.
Okay.
2 points better for West Brom in 10th place. Who scored the goals?
Well, it certainly wasn't Berahino.
No.
Seeing as how he ended the year at Stoke, also not scoring goals.
That's one for anyone.
I'm not sure. Yeah, this one's evading me.
Rondon?
Yeah.
Yeah, 8 goals.
I was going to say, is Shane Long still there?
No, I think so. Okay. Maybe? No? I don't know. Actually, I say that.
Yeah, I don't either. But it doesn't matter because it wasn't him.
As a Pulis side, 10th place, 45 points, 2 better than last year, as I mentioned. Is that a satisfying result for them?
I mean, it's a satisfying knowing that he's sexier than Stoke. So
yeah, that's true.
As far as table points go, I don't. I mean, I think
a whole 1 point better.
I think it'll do the trick. I don't think West Brom fans would be disappointed, but I think they'd all want to see more next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving up, we hit the top half of the table. Ninth place, we talked about them, the kind of the surprise good story of the year, Bournemouth, 46 right. points. Ninth place, 4 points better than last year. But again, they went from 16th to 9th. Talked about it, Joshua King. He scored all their goals, 30% of their goals, 16 mm-hmm. goals on the season. They took large steps forward again. Obviously, they took a step forward getting into the Premier League, staying into the Premier League. Now they go top 10. What's the encore on this one? Do they keep trending? Are they going to – they're obviously got a plateau at some point,
well,
right?
I think the question becomes, like, if they stay on this track, Eddie Howe is not going to be there for very long.
No. It's
far too little of a club for a man to be having that much success with right. the resources they have available.
Especially if Arsenal has a vacancy.
Yeah, for real. So I think a lot of how well they do depends on how much he stays and how long he stays. But I think realistically they're going to be back closer to the bottom half of the table next year if I had to make a guess about it.
Eighth place, Southampton, 46 points, 17 points worse than last year. So they took quite the dip. Who scored their goals? This was a hard one. I did not even think about this.
I don't know.
Nathan Redmond.
Oh, really?
7 goals on the season.
Okay.
To lead the way. We always got to ask a question about them. So what player are they going to get? Who's getting pillaged
this year? Most of their kind of brand name players, I feel like have gone. You know,
yeah.
Like,
who's the defender that everyone's after?
Van Dijk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like it'll probably be him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe they're out of the big names that everyone was wanting.
Yeah.
Okay, seventh place, Everton, 61 points. That's 14th points better than last year. Also an improvement of 4 places. Obviously, Lukaku, I don't have to ask you. Lukaku scored
yes.
their goals, 25 of them, in mm-hmm. fact. What are the odds of Lukaku
zero
and Barkley being back next
0%.
Year? 0%. Okay.
Yeah, right. I feel fairly confident in saying both of them will be off.
And
okay, 0% that Lukaku, 25% Barkley.
Okay, well then let's talk Lukaku.
Okay.
Who do you replace him with? Do they go out and find somebody in some, you know, some guy playing for some, you know, mid-level Italian side, that, you know, they you know, just go find some guy?
I think that's Koeman's MO. I think he's okay. the type that would rather unearth a gem. I wouldn't be too surprised to see if they try to bring in someone from the league. You know, a guy like Josh King, completely different to Lukaku, but mm-hmm. might make sense for them. I mean, if they stick with a kind of quicker attack, it's got that feel for him. But I don't know. I mean, there's not going to be a like-for-like for Lukaku. I mean, there really isn't an option out there that does that.
What about a Giroud? Where do they go get him? So if Arsene's gone, that is possibly that whole offense gets blown up.
It's possible.
And he wasn't really getting first team, you know, favorability anyways there.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Only if Arsenal bring in someone bigger and they feel like content to get rid of him. But I think that would be a silly choice on their end.
Bring in Peter Crouch. There's 7 goals.
That's right.
Manchester United, 69 points. Nice. 3 points worse than last year. Zlatan scored the goals, 17 mm-hmm. goals. So everything is we forget they've already won one trophy this year. They won mm-hmm. the EFL Cup now, I believe it's called.
Yes.
They won that. Everything though, for the most part, is banked on Europa. As far as Champions League, you know, their European place next year.
Yep.
It's all banked on Europa. As far as this year being a disaster or a success, does it still come down to Wednesday? If they lose to Ajax.
Yes. Yeah.
And they went for broke and they lost.
And they miss out on it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's enough that Mourinho would consider pulling his own name out of the hat next year. So, I don't know. I think he's got a whole other job on his hands again this summer. I mean, mm-hmm. Zlatan's gone. They're going to have to find another striker.
So the guy that was your catalyst for the season from a striker standpoint, you have to replace again.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's all these big names circulating. Griezmann. We'll see.
Yeah.
On any of that.
Agreed.
But you got to figure they're going to spend.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to spend a lot of money.
They're going to spend like madmen.
Yeah, crazy amounts. Griezmann's release clause right now, $85
million. Oh, okay, just that much, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fifth place, Arsenal, 75 points. Actually, 4 points better than what they did last year, even though they finished second last year. And
ha-ha.
Here they are in fifth place.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
So, gotta love how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Sanchez scored their goals, 24 of them. Arsenal's future. That's really all this summer's about.
He's going to come back. He's totally going to come back. I feel as confident about this as I do about Lukaku.
Even without Champions League, and if they lose the FA Cup, which is also their other pride and joy.
Because the
club, no fourth place trophy or FA Cup trophy.
The club has no balls, and they just don't care. Like they don't care.
Stan Kroenke was getting the chant of "Get out of our club."
I'm sure he won't.
Careful, guys. Last time fans wanted him to leave, he took the club with him.
Gotta watch out for that. Wouldn't be
careful on that one.
Wouldn't be the first time Arsenal have moved.
Yeah. Liverpool, fourth place, 76 points. That is a 16-point bump from the previous year. Who scored their goals?
They got their goals from a lot of different places.
Yep.
A healthy mix of players, I would have to say Coutinho.
Bingo. 13 goals. We talk about this team being a contender moving forward. Klopp clearly has kind of things figured out now. I think he got enough Premier League under his belt to hopefully, for Liverpool fans, mm-hmm. make a serious run next season. But Firmino, Sturridge up top to contend for the Premier League, is that going to be enough? Do they have to go out and spend on a more traditional style or just a bigger name?
I mean, they absolutely have to spend the summer, and they're going to have to fork out some cash to do it. They're right on that cusp. They're either going to develop these great players in the way that Spurs have,
mm-hmm.
or they're going to have to buy in those players. And to my knowledge, there's not like someone waiting in the wings in Liverpool's youth ranks that can do that. Now, to be fair, none of us really thought Kane was going to be that player either, but he certainly turned into that. So what it's going to mean is they're going to have to spend some money. And I'm going to make a cheeky pick right now. Liverpool are going to try to make a signing pip in here on Griezmann. I think,
really?
I think it just fits their system so well. It's kind of run and gun, lots of pace, a variety of scoring ability as well. I mean, I think he's just a really, really good fit for them, and I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Do you think Klopp tries to go back to his old club and take like an Aubameyang or something like that?
Aubameyang's been rumored to be going.
Or a Royce.
But that's not really a forward.
No, but you could put him up top, you know, two up top, which is what they're already doing. They're doing like Sturridge and Firmino up top. Sturridge is made out of glass, so you're going to need to replace him. I mean, Firmino is good, but is he great? Yeah. I guess is the question.
Maybe we'll find out next year.
Okay. Third place, Manchester City, 78 points, 12 points better than last year. Sergio Aguero, of course, scored their goals. He scored 20 of them. So here's a question. Obviously, Pep is going to be scrambling to make this team his team over mm-hmm. the summer. Does he raid any of his former clubs?
I think he makes a serious go at Messi, if not this summer.
Really?
Next summer.
Ooh.
I think this is the – if there's going to be a time that he's going to go – he's got all that tax evasion stuff hanging over his head in Spain.
Yeah, the block is hot on that one.
Reportedly has been restless within the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
A reported gap growing between himself and his teammates. I mean,
they're envious of his red beard. That's what it comes down to.
Maybe. For a man with a red beard.
everyone
sounds
wants
like
it.
You've got a
everyone
bias there that you're feeding.
I don't know what you're talking about. Not for City, but this kind of just popped in my head. Would a Premier League side looking to get a striker, would a Thomas Muller, who sounds to be somewhat unsettled at Bayern, be a decent move this summer?
I think that would be a fantastic move. But again, he's a little bit more like Kane than he's like Aguero. Aguero is one of those like create your moment for yourself type of guys, whereas Kane and Muller are more of those type of guys that like are, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to like make myself a little bit more available to create that moment.
Okay.
So I think it's a great shout though. I mean, I think it's a good player for them to pick up. I think Pep would be happy to take him off his hands.
Spurs, 86 points. That is a 16 point increase. Harry Kane, he scored 29 goals. It's a good amount of that.
Not too bad.
There's obviously the question of who they may lose this summer. Kyle Walker looks to be the most likely of anyone moves, and which doesn't seem to be the end of the world because it looks like the replacement's already figured out on that one.
Yeah, Trippier has been fantastic at the end of the year. Obviously, you lose a lot with Walker, but he might be a bit better defensively too.
So, the reverse of that, what needs to come into this club in the summer?
I still think Spurs need another top-rate striking option.
Okay.
When Kane...
So that Jansen guy who couldn't find the back of the net.
I think they're going to give another year to kind of feel himself out. But I think that if you had to find one thing that you would want to see them do, that might be it. Potentially, you could talk about depth across your back four as well. And I really like to see someone brought in to challenge Eriksen. He's like the only person that really doesn't have anyone pushing behind him at all.
Okay.
But at the same time, the way Spurs play, where you've got Dele Alli, you know, Heung-Min Son, these type of players that kind of all can play anywhere in that midfield trio, kind of attacking behind the striker. I don't know. But those are the two areas I think that if Spurs are needing improvement, that's probably it.
Chelsea. First place.
Oh.
Champions.
Diego Costa.
Top. Diego Costa, 20 goals. So 93 points. That is ready for it. A 43-point increase from last season.
That's just silly. That's a silly number.
Absolutely nothing silly to see here, folks.
No, not at all.
Just a team just playing a little better. Just a little bit better.
It's totally not intentional or anything.
No, not at all. Question.
Okay.
Isn't this great? No, that's actually not the question.
Yeah, it's terrible.
How does Conte top this season, though? I mean, he's possibly going to win do the double in season one. He's reached these heights of 30 wins. Where does this club go from here?
Here's where it goes.
Straight into the toilet and he gets canned by October?
Well, I think he gets canned, and here's the reason why. Now that he's gotten this league title out of the way, you know what Roman cares about. Champions League.
Champions League.
And nothing else, but you better do it sexy. And I just don't. I mean, well, they certainly have played some sexy football this year.
Mm-hmm.
Fair or unfair, I think that's what the expectations are going to be. And I wouldn't be shocked if he gets fired if they don't advance all the way, at least to the semifinals.
It's hard to disagree, given the track record of Roman Abramovich and his want to, never be disappointed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. As far as what they bring in, obviously it sounds like they're on the verge of possibly needing a whole new striker set because Costa's probably gone.
Yeah.
I feel like Batshuayi, he's going to demand first team minutes, and if he's not going to get it there, he's going to want a move, if not in the summer, January.
So it's Lukaku coming in to replace him then, right?
Lukaku, maybe Sanchez coming in as well.
We're saying this like this is fact. We don't know this at all yet, but it seems
good.
Pretty likely, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know Conte, I think, also has always wanted to bring Morata, who's currently at Madrid, who was at Juventus previously. Possibly bring him in. That's been a name that's been floating around forever. I don't know. Midfield's interesting. Cesc Fabregas, he's probably on the way out, unless he's content with being a role player in a club that's going to be playing a lot of Champions League and all this stuff next year.
I wouldn't be shocked if he did stick around.
Because otherwise, where are you going to go? You're going to go – everyone's rumored like he's going to go to like Italy. You know, so you're going to go dork around, you know, in the midfield at Roma.
He seems like a kid that would love a big, fat Chinese check.
Yeah, yeah.
Get some dope tattoos while you're over there.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's true.
What else are you going to do?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's the league.
Season in review.
Guess we'll wrap up with winners and wankers.
One last time.
Yeah.
Winners and wankers. All right. Why don't you go ahead and do the honors with the winner?
My winner is Europa League Twitter with the most unintentional troll job in the history of Twitter. Moments after the season came to an end for Arsenal, Europa League Twitter account welcome them to the Europa League for next year.
Oh, man, it's incredible.
With a graphic with the Europa logo and Arsenal's logo right there and said, hey, welcome. Glad to have you.
We're really glad to have such a big club down here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
It was so good.
Maybe it was intentional.
Like, I looked at it. I saw it while I was sitting in church and I laughed out loud.
Awesome.
I was audible.
Awesome. I'm going to give my winner this week to... the English FA for enacting the retroactive banning dive. This is something that's long, unbelievably long overdue in European football. It's been going down here in the U.S. for a few years now, and it's worked out pretty well. You don't really see a whole lot of diving in MLS.
Not only MLS, NBA also has the exact same rules set up.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But at the same time, it's a really big step forward and one that I hope that we see more leagues take a look at here moving forward.
My wanker. Anastasia? Do you know who that is?
Sounds familiar.
She's a singer. I thought, oh, this is some like international singer. No, she's from middle-aged broad from Chicago. She was the halftime act during Bayern Munich's match this week.
Okay.
She decided to finish out her set, even though the players were already back on the field and standing there waiting to start the match.
Awesome.
Finished her song. I think she had just started it when they had walked back on, and she went ahead and did the whole thing, bridge and all. And then they couldn't get the stage to properly disassemble and get off the field in time. So the match was delayed by like a good like 10 minutes.
Hashtag that's quality.
Because the lady just was like, hey, I'm here to do three songs. I'm doing three songs.
I'm not sure if you know, but this day's about me.
Yeah.
Not about this game that I'm performing at.
Ugh. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. I guess that means that I get to deliver the last wanker of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give my wanker to Bonucci, the defender for Juventus.
Yeah.
They were crowned champions this weekend.
Yes.
They got their big trophy presentation.
Yeah.
His sons came out with him. That's a pretty common tradition. You
sure.
see the kids of the players coming
yeah,
out
saw
with
a lot
the
of that
medals. Yeah,
the Chelsea celebration.
Put your kid inside the trophy, take a picture
oh,
with
yeah.
it, all that kind
you
of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So Bonucci's on his way out to collect his medal and to help mm-hmm. hoist the trophy. And he's got his two boys with him, and his older boy, the one who's walking, the one he's carrying, but his older one, is crying the whole way. And as a dad, you know, he's dying on the inside.
He's
like, oh, yeah. you doing this here.
Hey, we had a moment this week. We had to just hit the emergency brake on a Chick-fil-A outing, like mid-order. I'm in line ordering, and my wife just looks over at me from the table like, yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Our kids have lost their mind.
Like, I'm so close to delicious waffle fries.
Because,
what are you doing?
And I had already ordered.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the food.
Did you bring the food with you?
So here's – it's really fun having to forcibly remove your children from a restaurant
oh,
and everyone's
it.
Looking
yeah,
at
I've
you
done
and
that.
They're screaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's more fun? Having to then walk back in and collect your food.
Ah, yes. Well, at least you did.
I did, yeah. And
hey,
I was
look,
trying
I
just, to walk back in. I was like, hey, sorry, everybody.
I've earned this chicken sandwich, and now I'm taking it.
Yes.
But anyway, Bonucci's son was not crying over a meltdown at Chick-fil-A.
No.
He was crying because he was wearing a Juventus shirt. Of course, the shirt his dad was wearing. Not his dad's shirt, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Quadrato?
It was someone else. But I can't remember who. But what I thought was really interesting about this was the reason he was crying. not because he was elated with his father's victory or anything like
he
that.
He just finally saw the new jersey. Crest.
He's actually a Torino fan. And that's why he was crying. Now, this is literally Juve's biggest rival, like as far as in-town stuff goes, right? So you get it, but it's incredible. Like the kid is that high strung about it. Like you're not at all happy that your dad just won the league. All you give a damn about is the team you follow, and that is what football is all about. The team picks you.
I'm trying to think, like, I mean, neither of our dads were professional athletes.
No, so that's a little bit different.
But had that been the case, even if I'm, like, a lifelong Cubs fan, and my dad was a baseball player, and he, like, got signed by the Reds, I'd probably be a Reds fan then.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's where my dad's at.
You probably do both.
Yeah, I love both.
Yeah.
Why not both? I don't, yeah, that, how old was this kid?
I mean, he was old enough to old not enough be to know crying. That
this should not be the
Yeah, like,
case.
What are you doing? Like, you're making a fool of yourself here on national television.
Because he just didn't want to be seen in a Torino jersey?
Yeah, that's what it was all about. We've all seen kids have that meltdown.
Yep.
So, well, that concludes the final podcast of season 4, kind of, because we'll do some more here for you.
Yeah, we'll have our summer set of pods.
Yeah. All that said, if you want to get a hold of us over the break, feel free to do so. You'll still be on Twitter, Jeremy Lance.
Yeah, are you getting off? What's going on here?
I'm just saying that you're going to be on there.
Yeah, I'll be on.
I'll still be there too at Wrong Side of the Pond. You can also get a hold of us via email, contact at wrongsideofthepond.com.
Or just go to an FC Cincinnati game and shout at the press box.
Yes. I might not be able to hear you.
So those windows they don't open.
No. Not the ones not in that room. Section. Not in that room. So, well, as always, thank you all for listening. It's been fun doing this, 4 years now in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. We'll be back for year 5 next year. So stay tuned. We'll get you some summer episodes along the way to keep your soccer Wrong Side of the Pond appetite filled. In the meantime,
get ready for that Confederations Cup.
It's the best tournament.
Oh, man. Bye.